He never commended his disciples. I don't know if you know that. He invited them to come and die. He did not. He did not preach the law. Jesus never preached the law. He preached the gospel. The word gospel is just the Greek word for euangelion. Ou means good, and angelion means messenger or news. So good news. The one who brings good news, good tidings. So I bring you good tidings, and they're good, but they're not mine. It's not mine, nor did you produce them. They come from God. So I give you good news that God is good, and God is good. Anything he does is good, and you couldn't even know whether it was good or bad. You don't know. But when you experience his work, you realize, and you'll stumble over this, because you'll think he wants you to be good, but he doesn't. You'll think that he wants you to stop being evil, but that is not what he wants.
Amen.
To stop being evil would be a good thing, but he doesn't want you to do good. To start doing good is a good thing in your mind, but it's only something God does. God doesn't do evil. He only does good. There's no shadow of turning with God. He has never had an evil thought. He has never had an evil desire. So only God is good. Christianity is not about you being good. That's my main message. Christianity is not about you being good, moral, religious, nice. God does not want nice people. People to be nice. God is good. God is right. God is true. God is just. So God has all those attributes. You don't. You never have, and you never will. They are not inherent in you. When he created you, he created you to know him, not to be good.
Amen.
To know him. And to know him, good comes forth. Because the relationship, the intimate relationship that you have with God, that's why Christians don't pray much. They don't really need God, because they can be good on their own. That's a lie. Nobody's ever been good on their own, because you don't have that capacity. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the will. You don't have the desire. You have nothing going for you. Now, I have to teach the bad news, which is that all your religion and all your morals are worthless. That's bad news to anybody who wants to be self-righteous, prove that they're good. The whole Catholic system, just like the Jewish system, and exactly like the Babylonian system of the pagans, is all the same. Behave yourself or else. Nothing. There's nothing new there. Behave yourself. Pagan, Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, I don't care what it is, Masonic, all of those eleemosynary organizations and teachings and doctrines are worth nothing, because only God is good. Now, at least you understood what I said. He hates morality. Everybody that I know that's a pastor is teaching moral things, that the purpose of Jesus is to help you to be moral. Purpose of Jesus is to help you to be moral, because you appreciate his words and you appreciate his deeds. No, he doesn't want you to be moral. That's never used in the Bible. There's no such word in the Bible. I know everybody thinks there is, because it's what you think. So you impose that upon the Bible when you read it. But God actually hates your righteousness. It's a filthy rag. It's a smelly, horrible-looking, nasty-looking rag. It's a menstrual cloth. It's completely evil to God. Now, that's what he thinks of your good works. So man, at his best, state is altogether best state, altogether religious, moral, nice, friendly, you know, Boy Scout, whatever, Eagle, altogether worthless. That's why we teach it in civilization. We call that civilization. Civil just means city. So it's a culture developed around a major city somewhere, a walled city usually, because man can't get along. And the reason why men have never had peace on earth, goodwill to men, is because there isn't any. And the reason Jesus came was to bring it.
Amen.
But it's because Jesus is the Son of God.
That's right.
And so he's the only good. And even he said, I'm not good. Or he said, why do you call me good? He really is good, but he's good because he's the Son of God, God's Son. And it's because he did good things, but he said he didn't. He said he didn't. When people said good, he said, why do you call me good? Don't you know that no one else is good except one, God? No one else is good except one, God. And yet, every Christian that I know who's serious is trying to be good. Is trying to stop doing sins. He's trying to cease from sin. Trying to behave for once in a decent, kind, loving, neighborly way. But people can't live together. I'm just telling you, that's why there's so many divorces. People can't live together. Why? Because they're people. I mean, you don't have to train them. You don't have to train people to sin. They just kind of do it. Just kind of do it. So the only thing you're capable of doing is sin. That's it. Sorry. I've removed all romanticism now from the earth. Why? Because it's not good news to believe in something that's a lie. Man has never been moral. Never. It's just a man-made work or word, moral. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I'm going to tell you the truth, and you'll understand it intellectually, but you need to get a hold of this, that God does not want you to be good. He does not want you to behave. He does not want you to stop sinning. Stop sinning. Let's imagine God said that. But what does he mean by that? He did say it. That's called the law, left hand. But under the right hand, he forgives sinners. So if you sinned, and the law of sin and death says if you sin, you die, then you're dead. You're dead. He may defer the judgment. There may be an appellate court, and you can appeal, and then during your appeal, you stay in prison or whatever. You stay in bondage. You're still sinning, even though you're outwardly restrained from doing it because you're in a cell. You're restricted, restrained. But the final judgment's going to be, you sin, you die.
Right.
You got cancer in you, that's it. You're finished. So God only uses the right hand not to give you another law or to show you a good example of how he lived so you could live like that.
Sure.
He didn't do that. He didn't say, I'm doing good works down here. Here's what he said. It's the Father who dwells in me that doeth the works. That's what he said. Forget what you think in your theology. What he said is, you calling me good as though I, a human being down here, did good works. Impossible. That's impossible. The Father who dwells in me. Now that's different. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. I don't know why that's not clear. That apart from me you can do nothing. All your righteousness is a filthy rag in the nostrils of God, in the sight of God. He doesn't see any good men anywhere at any time. So the only way you could ever be good is to have God dwelling in you. That you would become his temple and he'd have to build you differently than your created nature. He would have to remake you. He would have to be a new creation. Because the original creation that he made,
thank you, Jesus,
sinned from the beginning. So God has never wanted you to behave. Why? Even though he said it. I know he said it. But God can say what he wants to say because what he says is true. And I can explain it, but it doesn't matter. The point is, I don't care what he said. It's how you interpret it. What if God, when he gave you a law, made it actually a promise hidden under the form of a law? Or in other words, I could say it this way. What if the law that he gave was for Jesus to keep for you?
Amen.
As you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
So that actually when he said you, he meant you in Christ, not you. What if? Well, it isn't a what if. It's actually the case that nobody has ever been good. No, not one. Nobody has ever been without sin. No, not one. You're all aware that it says that, but you never bother to put it together because you don't like contradictions. It's not a contradiction. It's just you misunderstood the words. That when he said you, he didn't mean you. He meant the new you. He meant the original you that he had in mind when he created you, but he meant it that it was you in Christ, not you apart from Christ. That's why he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, in me, you can do all things. So there it is, but that's a different you. The in yourself you, that one can do nothing. But that one's apart from him. But the non-independent you, the one that's dependent, that's connected to as a bride or as a son or in some intimate way in the family, adopted. However you get into the family, many ways. But however you get in, you got to get in because God is the only one that's good. No one else is good but God. Amen. Now, since that's true, how can you then read the Bible and say, I'm going to be good today? You cannot.
That's right.
I'm not wanting to confuse anybody. I'm wanting to unconfuse the confusion you have that you could be, should be, might be, even someday, even in eternity, good. You'll never be good. Ever. Why?
Hallelujah.
Because it has nothing to do with you. Everything is God. And we have a good God, and that settles it. Period. Just put a period after that. We have a good God.
Amen.
What's good about you is to know that you're not God.
Right.
Therefore, you're not good. Therefore, you're not wise. Therefore, you're not strong. You are neither good, wise, or strong. You know nothing. You are nothing.
Amen.
You do nothing. I want you to get the good news. I know I'm speaking harshly because I want you to take it in deep. God does not want morality. He hates morality. Every Christian book that I read, without exception, even if they say what I'm saying, they want you to behave. They believe the purpose of Christianity is that Jesus gets you born again or whatever he does so that you can produce some good works. No, he doesn't. He wants to have a relationship, not a performance. A relationship is the key to the performance. When children are born into your family, they're in a relationship with you. And that's how they learn good and evil. They don't learn it just, but if you leave them alone, they don't learn good and evil. But they watch you. They learn your language. They learn how you do it. But we can only produce sinful children because we are sinners. It's natural. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. I mean, that's simple. So make the tree good and the fruit will be good. We are the fruit of Jesus's tree. Jesus is the tree of life. Jesus, before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, Jerry, you cannot be good. You will never be good. You cannot be good. I know that some of you are trying, and that's very trying. Some of you are trying to be good, better. I'm trying to be better. Pastor Nama, I don't think I'm perfect, but I'm trying. That's trying to God. He doesn't want you. You are. It's hard to be with you. It's hard to relate to you because you're trying. Stop it. All of your supposed, quote, quote, all of your supposed goodness is a lie. It's a deceit. It's a trick. It's an illusion. It's a delusion.
Yeah.
You have the delusion and others have an illusion that you really are a nice person. There is no such thing in the eyes of God. There's no such thing in the eyes of God. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. I don't know why that's not crystal clear. Crystal clear. To me, that's crystal clear. I want everyone to be guilty. Do you know God wants everyone to be guilty? That's why he gave the law. He only gave the law not so you'd be good. He only gave the law so you'd realize you aren't. And you can't. And you'll never be able to.
Amen.
And he wrote it on the heart of every man. And then since that wasn't clear enough, he then also came down and told Moses, here's what I meant by that. It's written on your heart. The law of Moses is no different than the natural law written on every man's heart. Everybody knows there's good and evil. They just don't know what to do in any given instance that's good and evil. They have no idea if what I did is good or evil. Why? Because only God reads your heart. And your heart is evil, therefore everything you do is going to be evil. Even though it looks good to other people, that's what we call morals. You're just simply suppressing the flesh. You're simply thinking you're suppressing the flesh, when actually you're expressing the flesh. So there's no difference between expression and suppression and repression. It's just an impression that you have, that you're actually doing something when you're just wasting your time. Because you cannot change what I just said. You cannot change it. And I believe Jesus agrees with me that you're not good. And I believe some of you agree with me and Jesus.
Amen.
Now the reason I'm saying this, it's humorous what I'm saying. The reason I'm saying it is me knows nothing. I just read it in the book. All I did was read the book. All I did was objectively, from outside of me, read a book. It's no different than Jack and the Beanstalk. It's just a book. But Jack and the Beanstalk is a child's fairy tale, and the Bible is the truth from heaven above. And therefore, it's the only book like that. There is no other book like it. All other books are lies. I don't care how wonderful you think they are. They're just pure poetry without zero, without any truth or authority. Sorry. As nice as they are. Oh, did you read this book written by so-and-so? I don't want to read it. Well, no, it's really helped a lot of people. Well, that's proof that it's worthless. I don't believe in people. I believe people are liars. I believe they're evil. And I believe if you live long enough, you discover that people are evil and deceptive and tricky and treacherous. And if you get married to one of them, you will be sorry. Why? Because you'll discover they're not what they're cracked up to be. So, the nations will never have peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's just kind of like a goal. It's kind of like an ideal. Because people, in fact, can't live together. They cannot dwell in the same house with somebody else, let alone live with the people next to you, your neighbor next door to you. Nobody can get along anywhere. If the Russians killed off all the rest of the earth, the Russians would hate each other and destroy each other. If the Jews, you know, can't stand their neighbors, neither can their neighbors stand each other. They don't like everybody. Nobody likes anybody. In fact, if everybody was dead but you, you don't even like yourself. That's a problem. That you can't stand yourself because any standard you set up, you will not achieve. Anytime you set a goal, I'm going to do this, it doesn't work. Why? Because you are the problem. Right. You didn't get hooked up. You didn't get connected to Jesus, who is good, because he's the only one that's good. But he said he isn't good. He said, the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. So don't glorify me. Glorify the Father.
Amen.
Yet Jesus had glory before the foundation of the world. And his glory was to come and to show us the love of God, the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the power and the majesty and the wisdom of God. That is all there is in a creation that God made. The creator is not the creation. But for many people, they believe that nature, Al Gore, that nature, Gaia, is to be worshipped. That's the old nature religion, that this chair and this, you know, whatever, and people name a stick or a stone or painting or something or other, anything. And they just make them up as their gods just to avoid God. They do that to avoid God. That's all. They have to have some explanation, so they just invent a stick or a stone or something, or a person or a philosophy or something. They just come up with stuff, anything to avoid the living God. Why? Because they know they're no good. And they don't like thinking about that. They like to have an explanation for why they're a failure. They're a failure of any standard or any goal or any decency in this world that they want to do. Maybe they look at somebody and say, I'm going to be like that someday. You're not. And you work in vain to become like that person or that situation. There is no such thing in this world as perfection. Nothing, 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 nothing on earth is perfect. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Now, everything God does is perfect. Everything you do is not. That is so clear to me.
Praise the Lord.
Pastor Jim, why don't you preach like the other ministers? Because they're liars. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just describing them. I'm not criticizing them. I'm not despising them. I'm exactly like they are, except I read the book. And the book doesn't teach anything that they're teaching. They'll try to make the good news really, really, really good. I could name them. The ones that people run after. But I can tell you right now, all they want is people to give a lot of money.
Amen.
Take away the money, and all of a sudden it doesn't work. In other words, they're really not good. They're just trying to make people feel happy so they'll pay up. They entertain. It's just like the news all during the election cycle that's gone on way too long. But all during that time, all it was entertainment, so that the ratings go up and you get more money. That's it. It's just a business proposition. Nobody's telling the truth about anything. They don't even want to deal with real issues. There were no policy issues at all set forth. It's just to keep you wanting to watch it again, so you'll look again to see what's the latest thing. He picked his nose today. He had an umbrella on, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just silly stuff. And so the whole world is following after nonsense. And I'm afraid, because it's the last days, it's the only reason I'm telling you all this, it's the last days, and you really need to get it clear. Just get clear. Don't get clear about how you're going to improve or do something. Get clear about that there's only one God. They're into 5, 50, 5,000, 5 million. And how is it, Pastor, you know everything? I read the book. I do know everything. What? I read the book. I just read the book. I didn't read it to become a Christian. I didn't even want to be a Christian. I never wanted to be a Christian. I've read it. That's all. And I got it. And just by reading it, a miracle took place. God, who wrote the book, saw that I was reading the book and saw this young man will never get it. Saw that. Said, you're never going to get it. Because I'd look at it and go, that is stupid. You know, I would not read it and go, oh, that's so wonderful. I'd read it and go, that make any sense. Makes no sense. I'm not going to do that. When it said to behave, I knew I wasn't going to. When it said to misbehave, I knew I was going to. That's all. I just always misbehaved. And that's why I understood it perfectly when he said, God did not come for the righteous. Most people are trying to be righteous. But he came for the wicked. He came for sinners who repent. Now, repent just means change your mind. So I was a sinner who changed my mind, meaning, here was my mind. I'll never be a Christian because I don't want to behave. I want to lie and cheat and steal because I'm natural. I am a natural. I know most of you wouldn't characterize yourself the way I just did. But most of you don't realize you're actually the same. You lie, cheat, and steal. You don't know it. But you defined it in such a way that it comes out nicer. But I'd never have done that. I don't know, Willis, how bad you were and still would be, except for Jesus. But you have to be ruthlessly raw. And I always was. I lied to other people, but I never lied to myself. I always knew everything I did was rotten and no good as far as civilization was concerned and as far as God was concerned. So when I read the Bible, I found out that God loved me. I thought, I don't know if anybody's read this thing. It says he loves sinners. Golly, that's me. I mean, I never went, oh, I don't want to be one of those. I went, no, I am one of those, and I like being one of those. And I'm never going to be a Christian because I don't want to be. But he changed my mind. Because he said he loved sinners, and also he said, no one else is good but God. So what's the whole world about? What is civilization from the beginning of mankind? What, by the way, what I'm teaching you, you're not going to read anywhere or hear anywhere. It's not, because it's not what pastors teach. But what I'm teaching is the truth. I know it is. It's the whole truth. And it's the whole reason why the church is in a mess. And that's why the world is in a mess. It's because nobody ever read the truth. Just read it. It's just right there. I just read it. I'm just looking at it. A little kid could read it and then get it. Little kids are not, if I say this to a little kid, he'll go, yeah, that's right, you can't be good. Whatever. Because they heard me say it and they thought I was an authority. And so I just say it. And a little kid gets it right away. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. So little kids have no problem being good when they're told to be good. They have no problem for about 3 minutes. And then after that, they got a problem. And then they describe themselves as, well, the devil on this shoulder said, don't do, you know, do that. And Jesus said, don't do that. And I tried to listen to Jesus. And that's how little kids think. It's real simple for them. So I tried to listen to Jesus. I knew Jesus said, do what your mommy says. I tried to do that, but I didn't want to. So I listened to the devil that time. And little kids are guilt-ridden. Little bitty kids know that you're not supposed to hit your sister or whatever. And then when they do, they immediately want to lie. So now they hit their sister, then they lied. Now they got two sins. So little kids are terrorized by the idea of going to hell because you sinned. Little kids are. So if you teach it, now don't do what the devil says. If you say that to a little kid, he's going to try for about 3 minutes to not do that. But it isn't long before he's going to do it. And then he gets confused. A little kid that comes home from first grade, mommy, I got the star today. I didn't do anything wrong. And so that little kid is proud, not realizing that pride is a sin. They're proud because the teacher gave them the star and everybody else was evil and wicked. They didn't do right. And I knew it. And I felt very good about it. That's a little kid. So you see, then if you would teach on the next Sunday school lesson to that little kid, don't be proud, it would not occur to him that that was wrong. Pride would have no meaning because, of course, they were proud because they restrained themselves. They governed themselves. They behaved themselves just like the teacher said. Now, Kara, our oldest, I hope she doesn't hear this tape, but she was good because I told her, when you go to school, you sit in your chair like this. And I actually bought her a little kid desk and so on, so just like in school. I bought her one and said, you sit here like this. And you fold your hands like this. Have your pencil sitting right there. Your books underneath your thing neatly. And I told her each one of these as though it's the end of the world if you don't do it like this. And so now I said, if somebody harasses you or does something silly in class, do not look at them. Look only at the teacher. So I said, now mom is going to try to get you distracted, but don't do it. Do you understand? So the fear of God was in her, so she went, okay. And so then immediately mom came and tried to tease her or whatever. Psst, you know, and so on and so forth. And then she was so proud of herself because she didn't wiggle or move or anything. And I was the teacher, and wherever I would walk, she'd keep her eyes on me. And Mom was trying to do everything to distract her. So she learned in just one day, she got it down, that when you go to school, you sign your paper on the right-hand side up the top and so on and so forth. You do everything you're told. You do not disobey that teacher. Okay, my point is this. I busted her good. In other words, for the rest of her life, she would have to be good. If you train them early, I don't know if you know this, if you train a child early the way they should go, then when they get older, they won't depart from it. Now, I know most parents are not as nice as I am to teach her everything she has to know. She got all the ribbons. She won all the prizes. All. Peggy can tell you, without one exception. If they gave out 7 prizes, she got all 7. She memorized her Bible verse. She played the flute. Whatever you were supposed to do, she did everything. She got everything A+. Why? Because I taught her how to sit like this and restrain herself and govern herself. You sit right there and look exactly at the teacher, no matter what. And when Mom came along, she was so proud that she didn't at all give in to Mom. And Mom was a good teaser. It's not her nature, but she did it. Peggy actually didn't like this little teaching thing here. But I busted her. What's the purpose of a law? It's to show you that you can't keep it. And only now that she's, I don't know, 50, 40, whatever she is.
47.
I'm close. Only now can she say, Dad, I can't do it. Why? Because it's too hard. I'm having a trouble being a good Christian all the time. She has 2 or 3 Bible studies in her neighborhood. She keeps the books of the church. She plays the organ. She does everything. She's the perfect wife. Because I taught her when she was just, 6 or 7, I taught her how to sit in the chair and not wiggle or move. She restrained herself. So when you teach that, everybody's impressed. She was impressed with herself. Everyone else was impressed because she was impressive. But, of course, she's not a person. So she began to be a person because it would come into her heart, let's say. It would come into her heart. Do you love Jesus with all your heart and soul and strength? And are you happy all the time? I'm trying. So she's trying. And so when she now has her own kids, Danny is the, 4 or 5?
4.
One day he was whining. So since he has 7 older brothers and sisters, I said, stop whining. And he just kept whining. And said, stop whining. And so he said, I'm trying not to whine. and he was sincere. He was very sincere. I'm trying not to whine. But he didn't know how to not whine. He knew he was whining, but he was trying not to. They told him not to. Do you all understand?
Yep.
Keeping a law is not what God ever wanted. God does not want you to keep laws. Now, even though I also taught the gospel, you have to figure out what's the difference between the gospel and the law. The law and the gospel. I preach it every Sunday. I preach it. Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I teach people, do not behave. But then, why is the law given? Well, the law is not given to help you be good. Since that's the case, I never expect Willis to be dependable, or good, or decent, or kind. I don't.
I don't let you down either.
No, haven't let me down. And same with Sam.
Absolutely.
I don't want you to be good, but that doesn't mean I won't say, be good. I always tell people to be good, and so on, but I don't really believe in it. And I don't really expect people to be good. I expect them to commit every sin in the book. They won't. But you get your favorites. Everybody has a set of favorites, like judgmentalism, right? Because the Bible has omission and commission. So I might not commit murder, commission, but I might omit to be happy while I'm reading the Bible and full of joy unspeakable and full of glory and worshiping all the time. So you're going to sin no matter which one you do or don't do. It's going to be a sin. Whatever you do will be a sin. Everything you do is a sin. But if it's Christ in you, now you're a spiritual new creation. That's totally different, and you can't get that, even if you preach it. You can't get it just by preaching it, like I'm doing right now. It has to be given to you by God. Only God can open your eyes spiritual. Only God can open your eyes, and all of a sudden, one day, you realize, wow, I cannot be good. I just can't keep it up. I can't be like Paul, or I can't be like Pastor Jim, or whatever. And I don't care who you're looking at. You can't be like somebody. Why? Because God wants you to know that He's already done everything. He's not going to do it. He didn't do it 2,000 years ago on Calvary. He did it before the foundation of the world. Why? Why? Because every work that's ever been done on this earth that's any good, God did it, and He did it before there was a world. He did all the works of this world before the world began.
Amen.
I could give you all the scriptures. I'm just telling you that Jesus didn't come on earth to show you good works. He came on earth to show you the Father that dwells in Him. That He has a relationship because He's the Son, that's the Father. But He didn't want anyone to behave. He came only for sinners. He came for people that had failed. He didn't come for one righteous person, because He said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Didn't He say that? So if all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that's not our take. Our take is, I was better than myself last week. That's our take. Because we're still trying to be good, because we think it's possible. It is not possible for you to be good. Why? Only God is good. No one else is good but God. So since that's not possible, apart from me you can do nothing. In me you can do all things, but it's in me. So it's the me that counts, Jesus. So only Jesus, not Buddha, not the Muslims. They're all good people. All Buddhists, all Hindus, all Muslims, all Confucianists, all whatever. All those religions are rubbish. Why? Because they're all teaching to behave, including the Jewish religion, which has those laws, and they're still trying to this day to keep Torah. And they ask that of one another. If you're an Orthodox Jew, the others don't. They're looser on the thing. But the Orthodox are very serious about it. Are you keeping Torah? Because you have to. You have to. You're under a burden. You're a slave. You're under a duress. You have to behave. And at least you have to say this. Are you keeping Torah? And that's one of their laws, is you say that to your fellow Orthodox person. And so they say it. And if they mess up even the smallest thing, like on the way to temple, do not talk to a Gentile. So when we were in Israel last year, I walked by two Jewish people because there was nobody else on the street. Absolutely nobody. And I wanted to get to the whatever gate it was that you get to that's nearest to the Western Wall. I think it's the Jaffa Gate, but it doesn't matter what it is. Some gate. And so I asked them, could you help me? And they were walking from the temple area. No, they were going the same direction I was, toward it. And I thought, they can help me because they know where the Western Wall is. That's where they're going. And that's where some of our people were. And so I said, could you help me to, which gate do I go through to get to the Western Wall? And they didn't answer. No, sir, there's nobody else here but you. Could you tell me which gate? All I need to just point toward the gate. Just toward the gate. You wouldn't do it. Sir, really, please, I have no one to help me. I don't speak English. Why? Because it's a sin for them to go into the temple on a high holy day and to speak to a Gentile. In other words, he is now unclean. He is no longer clean, because that's one of their laws. And he's trying very much to keep all the laws, wear the right hat and get there in the right time and everything. And here I am making him unclean. And so he said to me, I don't speak English. Imperfect English. Which I thought was humorous. But the explanation's simple. If you're under a law, you won't keep it. He didn't keep it. I ruined his whole religion right there. If he was serious, he would have just kept going. But he had a heart. He had a heart. For a fellow human being, a stupid Gentile, doesn't even know what gate or door. What's he doing here? He ought to know better. And he shouldn't have spoken to me, but his heart reached out to me. Did you see that? Because he loved me. So why did he do it? Because there's a difference in anybody who has a religion between your head and your heart. His head said, no, I don't speak English. But his heart said, I gotta do something to help this guy. Because it's not wrong to be good. So he was being good by doing an evil thing. So then his equity had to take over his law. And it did. By saying, I don't speak English, that was the nicest thing he could say to me. Because he's now unclean. But he didn't want to count that, so he didn't. He just didn't. Anytime you keep a law, anytime you're a teacher, anytime you're a pastor, anytime you're a mother, a father, anytime you're an older brother or sister, you're trying to teach the little one not to do what they're doing. And they'll follow you. They believe in you. But they're not going to do it for long. It won't be long before they'll do their own thing. Right? So, does Brazos always do what you tell her?
No.
No. It's very clear. Quickly, he didn't even hesitate on that. No, she does not.
Nope.
Because even though she looks up to him and loves her brother and knows he's, you know, a good person and so on and so forth, she still doesn't want to do what he says. You're not my parent. You know. But she isn't going to do what her parents say either. There's times when she just wants to do her own thing. Her body just tells her that, or her mind, or the devil sitting on her shoulder. Something tells her that. Not to do it, because you didn't feel like doing it. You didn't want to do it. You didn't see why you had to do it. That's the way people do it. Okay, let's accept people as they are. Why don't we love people as they really are, not as they ought to be? Why don't we love people as they really are, not as they ought to be? How are they really? Sinful. Full of sin. Full, 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 full. What about Christians? Oh no, they're saints. Yeah, in name. But in fact, no. They're just the same as sinners. They do exactly the same thing. It's just they say they're saved by their faith or something. Just use that word. It's by faith. So if I ask everybody today, are you a saint? You'd all say yes, because that's the right answer, because it's in the book. You want to do works, or do you want to believe in Jesus? Yeah, that's the right answer. But the truth is, that doesn't mean you do. It just means you gave the right answer. How many want the answer and not how you get it? Like the child just wants to get the A on the test, but they don't really want to learn to do the problem. They just want, and so they can just look over at somebody else's paper and write down that answer. But you got to make sure you're looking at somebody who had the right answer. Otherwise, there's no point. So God wants you to realize that he does not want you to be moral, religious, nice, behave yourself, stop sinning. He doesn't want that. That's for Jesus. That's for Jesus. Jesus had no problem. Why? Because of the love of the Father. Because the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. Because the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. So only the Father, only God is good, he said. Only the Father. If you're not connected to the Father, if you're not a son, a creature, one of his creations, if you're not related to him intimately, heart to heart, deep to deep, in an intimate way, well then you're not a believer. You're dead. Because you're under the law of sin and death. One sin, dead. One sin, dead. If you keep one part of the law, you got to keep the whole law. If you even do one part of the law, you got to keep the whole law. So don't even start. Well, I'm going to get circumcised. Even though I'm a Christian, I want to also make sure I do that too. And I'm going to wear this, and I'm going to look like this, and I'm going to celebrate this, and so on. You got to be careful, because if you're going to keep the law, you got to keep all of it. For example, Jewish people, let's say they sin. They never do. But let's say they did. They never do. Why? Because sin and death. They know that deal. So they don't, because where would they go if they had a sin? You can't just go in the backyard and kill a chicken. You got to have a sacrifice. You got to make an offering. And so today they don't have a temple. They don't have a priesthood. They don't have any lambs to sacrifice. And they have to be perfect lambs from Hereford, Texas. I'm serious. They can't be a cow or something, a heifer, that isn't perfect. You can't. So they have a deal with Hereford growers in the panhandle to supply animals without spot or blemish 1 year old. They've paid ahead of time to make sure when they get that temple finished, which they cannot enter or do anything in unless the ashes of the red heifer are first of all killed and then you sprinkle them. Without that, you can't walk into the temple. It would not be God's temple. It's the only way. You have to do it exactly as God said. So, keeping a law is too hard. People just can't do it. Like little Danny. I'm trying not to whine. He just can't help it. He wants to whine. But he's trying not to. But inside, he was still whining. And you could hear it in his little voice. He didn't know how to deceive like a teenager would. So he just, I'm trying not to. In other words, leave me alone. I'm whining on the inside, but I'm not whining on the outside. How many know God wants it from all the heart and all the soul and all the strength and the neighbor as the self? How many know that God's words, here's what you do if you're under a law, if anybody here is under any pressure to behave or to be good, or you wish you were good, or you're praying to be better, stop it. God is already good. He's already perfect. He's already done everything, and he lived your life for you before the foundation of the world. He actually lived Margaret's life for her. He actually lived ML's life beforehand. He lived your life. He lived your life. He lived the perfect life, not for himself, for you. Because God sent him with that mission. Even before there was a world, there wasn't any grass or any trees or any earth or any rocks or anything. Those were all created later. So Jesus himself was laid down in the middle of nothing. In the middle of nothing. In a universe of nothing. He was laid down. And now, where does it fit? What does it sit on? Nothing. So before the foundation of the world, God sent his son at that point and then postponed it for 4,000 years. But he put him there. Just said, be ready. How long am I supposed to be? It says he laid the cornerstone at that moment before the foundation of the world. I could read all the scriptures for you. So Jesus died not on Calvary. He died before the foundation of the world, 6,000 years from today, earlier, beforehand. That's when he lived your life for you, Margaret. He lived a perfect life and he said, this is for Margaret. So when Margaret comes before God, she'll be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which was written because God knows everything. It was written before the foundation of the world, who should be in and who should be out. He didn't make the choice. He knew what they would choose. You chose freely. At some point, I believe in Jesus. You took the good news and accepted it. What was the good news? Don't behave. Let Jesus behave for you. That was the good news, that my Father loves me. Did you know that God so loved the world? Not just Christians, not just Jews. The Jews are working in vain. Unless the Lord build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. Psalm 127:1. And so unless the Lord build a house, you're the house. You're the house. It's not that you're building a house. You're the house. God's building a house. Unless the Lord build it. Well, the Lord is building you. What? New creation. Why? The old one? We spoiled the old one, right? Because we sinned. One sin, death. One sin, death. Now everybody is under a curse because you were hostile to God and his stupid law. Behave yourself. And everybody tried. And then they got just mad at him. They built the Tower of Babel and they've done everything they could to build a civilization without God. And now today, that's what this election was all about. One person wanted to do what was right, and the other person wanted to do what was right. Am I right? Didn't they both want to be our saviors? They both did. But they had opposite views of how it was going to be done. One wanted to rebuild the and finish the Tower of Babel, which was never finished, by the way. And men have been trying ever since, 6,000 years, they've been trying to build that Tower of Babel again. Finish the thing off. You'll notice on the dollar bill, it ain't finished. Everybody notice that? You ever notice that it's a pyramid, but it doesn't end. Somehow the end is gone. The tip, the cap, the top is gone. And then in there is an eye. They call that the evil eye. Or the all-seeing eye of God, whatever that means. They got all kinds of names for it, but nobody really knows what it is and why is it there. What's it there for? And it's got 13 steps, if you ever counted them. What for? And then it has Novus Ordo Seclorum written underneath it. New World Order. What president in recent years said that? What president in recent years said that? New World Order. And I could show you that this idea has been with us for a long time. So, we're all into witchcraft. We're all into, you know, Masonic order. We're all into the Illuminati. We're all into some kind of, you know, secret deals that are going on. No. Don't think you know something. You don't know anything. This world is made out of wicked people and righteous people. Who are the righteous?
Jesus.
The sinners.
We are righteous. How are we righteous? All it means is rightly related to the one who is righteous. It doesn't mean you're righteous. It means you're righteous because by faith you believe in another one lived your life for you before the foundation of the world. That's the sub. That's the substitutionary atonement right there. Jesus died. It said he was slain from before the foundation of the world. Before. In other words, before there even was a world, Jesus was slain. Isn't that amazing? And that's when the book of life was written right there. Did you know in the Garden of Eden, Jesus was there? Tree of life. The tree of life. Nothing is said about the tree of life in the garden. Just says there was a tree of life. Because the other tree, if you eat of it, you die. So that must be the tree of death. So there were all the trees, which you could freely eat of. And then there were two trees. One, don't eat of that. But the other one, they should have said, do eat of that, but they didn't say that. There's nothing in the book of Genesis that says, do eat of the tree of life. But once you're dead or heading toward death, it would be good if you figured out what this tree of life is for. And Jesus was that tree of life. And that tree of life is the Lamb's book of life, where your name is written. He already knew. He didn't make you choose to believe. He certainly didn't make you to behave. He does not want you to behave. Randy, he does not want you to behave. So, if there's any behaving to be done, let Jesus do it. And he already done it. You're already perfect. That's amazing. You don't have to ask him to do a nice work today. He already did it all. He just wants you to enter into what he did way back then. So since you're perfect in God's sight because of Jesus, whom you have faith in, he developed a relationship rather than performance. Always get the relationship before the performance. In other words, don't marry somebody for their performance. Or don't perform to marry somebody. Actually, only God knows. And you don't even know. Let's say you make a mistake. Let's say there's a 50% chance you could make a mistake when you get married. Let's say it's 60%. Let's say it's 98%. Let's say it's 99.999% that the person you marry will not be perfect. Which is, you know, anybody in their right mind wouldn't marry a person that's not perfect. Because then you're going to marry a person that is imperfect. As a sinner. As a sinner. It's somebody that deviated, derogated, went away from the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So how can you have any marriages work? Oh, it's easy. It's easy. Just go blind go deaf, pay no attention. That's easy. You can have a good marriage if you live totally in your imagination. That's easy. You just reconfigure it in your head. How many people have an imagination? No, my husband loves me all the time. I've had people tell me that over the phone. Because they would see me smiling if I was looking at them. But my husband loves me without condition. Really? That is so cool. It's a complete lie. And I love it. I love it when people say that, and I always commend them for that. Well, praise God. You are so blessed. Because I'm setting them up. Because the next time I see them, they're going to say, we're divorced, by the way. I know they are. Because it doesn't work that way. How many know? People just can't, they cannot stand to be good for more than 3 seconds. Or 2 minutes. Or 2 months. Or 6 years. Or no, they can't. They can't make it that far. So sooner or later, you're going to discover that the people you're with are imperfect. And that they're worthy of criticism. Judgment. Peggy is still discovering, even after what, 53 years, 52, whatever, after of being married. But we went together nicely for 5 years before that. So that's a long time for Peggy still having not figured me out. That I'm never going to be good, I never have been and never will be and don't want to be, and I'm not going to do it. Just, I don't even think about it. I don't have to think about it. You just take me as is. You ever seen that? Purchase as is. So she didn't notice that little sign on me. As is. You know, you just have to buy the person as is without knowing. Because people lie. I don't know if women lie, but men lie. I don't know if women lie because they're good people. But men lie. And they just say stuff to get married. And they don't mean it. I mean, maybe they mean it in that second.
Yeah. Maybe.
And so that's great. That's wonderful. I wouldn't build my life on a 1 second feeling or emotion or whatever. Because they might have another agenda in their head, secret, that even they're not aware of. How many know that that's an illusion that most young girls, and you have to marry young because if you marry older, you won't. Because you're too smart and habit-forming and so on. So that I don't know why young people marry. I think it's for another reason than love. I think they have other reasons. He said he loved me. That's great. Get married. Do it. Jump in. How many know you better have Jesus first? It'd be good to get Jesus first. Amen. It'd be good to be happy, totally happy, 100% happy in Jesus first.
Amen.
Rather than look to some person to perfect you or to complete you, compliment you. How many know that God rigged the world? He rigged it. He set it up. He had a sense of humor. But look, he's explained it all in the book, in the Bible. So, here it is. Stand firm in the liberty. The liberty. When the Greek language uses the word the, it's a definite article, not assumed, but it's written there. When it says the freedom, that's a noun, but it has the definite article. The freedom, and there can be no other on earth, anywhere, ever, never has existed before. The freedom, Jesus Christ. The freedom. Stand firm in the freedom wherewith, with which Christ has set you, made you free.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Now, who has bewitched you that you're turning from that and going back to being circumcised, going back to some law, going back to some kind of, you know, behave yourself mode? You can't. Stop it. Stop it. I don't know how to say it stronger. Stop it. I don't have any more ways to say it. I can say it in other words, but it's going to be the same thing. Stop it. Stop behaving. Don't. Just be you. Jesus rigged it so that you, being just you, could be loved because God is love. That's all. That's his nature. It isn't like he's going, this will be a good thing I do. No. This is not a good thing he does. He is good. Why? Because he is love. And he just loves anybody and everybody. Adolf Hitler, he loves him. He did not hate Adolf Hitler. God does not desire the death, sin and death. He does not desire the death of any sinner. He takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. That's literal. So I don't care who you are, who's the most monstrous person you can think of, besides your husband or wife or somebody. You don't. You don't understand. God loves him. I mean, perfectly. He sent Jesus not just to the church. He sent Jesus to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, not whoever behaveth for him, believeth on him or in him, should have eternal life. Life, tree of life. Eternal life for the foundation of the world, life. That kind of life that is everlasting. He wants that for ML. That's what he wants for you. For you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The guy would want that for you, but he does. I don't know why. He must see something that other people can't see. He just loves you. He's delighted in you. Karen, for you. It's too good to be true. Now, if you can get a hold of this, that stop being moral, stop being nice, stop being religious, stop doing things, stop performing, stop behaving, stop acting. Stop. Why? I mean, you can do it if you want, but just recognize you're a hypocrite. Because you're not good. Only God is good. He said it. Even if you didn't know that, you know it now. I'm trying to make it clear that you can't do anything. Every law in the Bible is for Jesus. He already did it. Every law for you in the Bible is actually not for you. It's for the new you, which is for Jesus to do for you, in you, and through you. Chair 4, 5, and 6. That is impossible. That is impossible. So these laws that Jesus set up, these are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These three go together. This one is not you. This one is not you. This one is not you. Jesus did it for you. He did it in you. He does it through you. That's what Jesus is talking about. Oh, please get a hold of this. I can preach it forever, and I will. I do not grow weary in preaching it. It's just that after 30 or 40 years, you probably should get it. I'm just saying. I want you to be absolutely happy, because that's all Jesus has ever wanted. Not in heaven. Start it now. He doesn't want you to be happy in heaven. He wants you to have heaven now. He wants heaven to start as soon as you hear the word. As soon as you get a hold of it, he loves you unconditionally. He will do anything to win you over except force, manipulate, trick. He's making it plain. And I'm not surprised that what I'm telling you is the truth, and it's clear. It's clear. Even after the Reformation, even though Martin Luther taught faith alone, chair 4, even though he taught that, still the Lutheran church today isn't Lutheran. I mean, it has nothing to do with Luther. I mean, it just went right back to behaving yourself. The Lutheran church today is completely liberal, and not free at all. It's still under behavior. And you have to behave. And so he lost the whole thing. Everything he taught was in vain. It was foolish. The German people didn't get it in his own day. They were still into beer and cheese. Gemütlichkeit. Gemütlichkeit is how Germans celebrate. They don't celebrate the communion. They celebrate beer and cheese. That's what makes them happy. Umpapa. You know, that it makes them happy. Put on their lederhosen and go for it. So the German people, even though they heard the gospel, it did them no good. Even those that followed him. They wanted to get back to rules again. Who has bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began in the spirit. Why are you now ending in the flesh? You've gone back to the flesh. You're no longer free. Why do you chose slavery? stand fast in the liberty wherewith or by which Christ hath made us, all of us, free. And then he says, not only are you free now, but don't move from this. Stand fast. Stay there. Be established. Don't move. Don't wiggle. You're in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Stay by faith. Don't get moral on me. But he notices right away, I tell you, do not again fall back into the yoke of slavery. Don't put the yoke back on you of I'm going to be tied not to Jesus, but I'm going to be talked to the law. If you're yoked to Jesus, that's like marriage. Zuge. Zuge in the Greek means marriage. It means to be yoked together. And in the weddings, they would actually put a yoke around the couple, joined together into one with two things, so that the husband was here and the wife was here. So do not be yoked again in slavery, in bondage. Why do you want to go back to law keeping when you've been set free? You were set free before the foundation of the world. Now it's been announced to you 2,000 years ago, and now after 2,000 years, you should get it now, is that he wanted you to be free. Free to do what? Free to do good works. No. Free to know him. And if you could just know him in chair 4, then he would send you through the fire. How many know that's the best chair? The fire. So that then the good works would come out in chair 6. And then he'd come back for you because you're a perfect bride. That's all he wants. Please go through the fire. Go through the pain. How many know you have to wait? You have to wait, be patient, wait. Because after chair 4, I know he loves me. Unconditionally. I love Jesus because he first loved me. I love Jesus because he first loved me. He gave me this good news. Now he wants me to go through the fire. Why? Why do I have to go through the fire? Well, it has to be tested to see whether or not you'll fall back into the yoke of bondage or whether you'll stay free all the time, to be happy all the time. Who here has said to themselves, Pastor, from now on, I'm going to be happy all the time?
Me.
You can say it.
Yes, I've said it.
You've said it. It works.
Say it again.
It works. Why? Because it isn't you saying it. You're just simply repeating what he said. There's no virtue in this. You're just repeating what he said, and it sets you free. You encourage yourself. You actually are speaking to yourself what he said to you. You're just saying it. Jesus said he loves me. That'll build you up. But if you said to yourself, I'm trying to behave. I'm trying to be a good wife. I'm trying to be a good friend or whatever. Don't. Don't do that. Don't fall back into bondage where I'm trying. Stop it. Don't try. Just be you. He loved you as you are. Let him start a good work in you. Philippians 1:6. Start a good. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Let him complete what he started. Why? Because he did it before the foundation of the world. It was already done. Therefore, you don't have to work at it, get a hold of it. You don't have to appropriate it. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to know what it's meaning and saying. It's just good news. It's totally good news. What's the good news? That Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells you so. That's it. Stop moving into, well, I hope I'm worthy when he comes back. You're already worthy. Jesus loves you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He saw all your flaws. He didn't care about them. He died. That's why he died before the foundation of the world. He just manifested on earth 2,000 years ago. But 6,000 years ago is when he did it. That's when God the Father laid him down and said, Son, wait right here. Patiently for 4,000 years. Jesus said, how long am I going to lay here? No, Jesus. Just be patient. And he always does what's pleasing to the Father. So he just laid there waiting. But actually he was in the garden. That tree of life walked out of the garden, followed them. I know this because of the Bible. That tree did not stay in the garden. Remember, he kicked them out? But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the death tree. Now, all you got to do is eat of this other tree, and it's the antidote to the curse. Now you're not under a curse. So the Jewish people, the Hindu people, the Muslim people, the Catholic people, the Jewish, all those people can get free. All they got to do is eat of the other tree, faith. That's the faith tree. That's the one where you trust that he did your life already for you, and there's nothing you need to do to be acceptable to God. You're totally acceptable. Not only that, if he accepts you, he has to bless you every day. Every day. Every day is a blessing. Margaret, oh, to live like that. Nothing in this world can do this, but God, who's not of this world, but who came into this world, wants to bless you every single day. As soon as you wake up in the morning, he's happy. As soon as you wake up, you begin to rejoice. Woo! What a day! You know, you just wake up excited. Why? Because God is for you. Because God is not against you. Never has been, never will be. God's always been a loving father, never an angry judge. I hope you got something out of this today.
Amen. Thank you.
Could anybody say, Pastor, preach no more. I got it. I will not be moral.
Keep preaching, Pastor.
Yeah, good.
I got it.
Yeah.
Stop saying the message.
You got it?
We're all a little thick-headed.
But I do get it.
You're getting it. You got it?
I got it today, but I probably need to hear it tomorrow.
And look forward to being reminded next time.
Okay, if we could have the ones that get it to stay on this side and then the ones that don't get it to be on this side.
Right.
We have two groups. Do you do that with your kids? You know, put two groups on. This is the group. I already taught this group. They're ready to graduate.
You know, it's interesting, Jim, it says you did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, you just have to rejoice all over again and keep ourselves in the love of God and not on the law of others.
Right.
Or ourselves.
Well, right.
You know, you read further in Galatians 22 where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. What's the first one?
Right.
Joy.
Joy.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, blah, 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 blah. Mom?
I was just going to say, you talk about the Lutherans are under the law.
Yes.
But they're under a different law now.
Yes.
Because now, like, they think homosexuality is okay.
Sure.
So, but that's still a law.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
Well, you have to. So, it's different. It's not God's law.
But I don't care what law it is.
Yeah.
Any law you're never going to keep. If they say they're for the black people, they're not. That means they actually hate them and despise them. I'm telling you, everything that man says is a lie. I'm just trying to tell you, if they say they're for the homosexual community, they're not. They just use them for votes. I don't care what people say. Nobody is being changed or helped. Nobody! So politicians can do nothing. I don't believe in any politician. Look, all the power lies with you. You're the only one with power. Where'd you get it? Jesus. It isn't me.
Amen. Thank you.
Whoever blessed me, it wasn't me. That was Jesus. And I'm giving him all the glory. And don't believe it. Just believe it by just say it. Just go and act on it. Enter into it. Why? Because that's what faith is. Faith is entering in. That's how you get in. Chair 4 is the first one. That is a new creation, 4, 5, 6. And who will get that finished? Well, he did the first, so he'll do the second, so he'll do the third. So everything that needs to be done has been done, and he will still complete then what he already has done in you. Because you're in time and space. But he came to be Son of Man in time and space so you could get it. He can't be it up from heaven. That doesn't make any sense. So he had to come down and let you kill him. That showed how much sin we all had. That our sin is this: kill God and then you be God. That's our sin. Everybody in this room wants to be God. You want to be in control. You want to be the one that is awesome. Everybody, your secret sin is you want to glory in yourself. You want to put on makeup. You want to pretend. You want to wear clothing. You want to look good. Why don't you just be yourself? Why? Jesus loves you as you are. Just as I am, without one plea. I like that because there's nothing I can do to merit it. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can stop doing. He doesn't want you to do or stop do. He just wants you to believe that he is good. That's it. How simple. And then worship, it's nothing. Worship is not a good work. Worship is a response to the fact that all the good work has been done. Thank you. That's it. There's worship right there. Thank you. Like little kids. When a little kid, here's how they thank you. They get the present under the tree. It's got their name on it. They get the present. They open it up, rip it off, and so on. And they look at it. Wow. Now, there it is right there. That wow, that was it. That's all you're going to get out of them.
Yeah.
Because in a minute, they're going to break the thing, step on three other toys while they're doing it, and so on and so forth. It's not going to last. There's no last to it. But your reward, if you were God, your reward is they thanked me, And they praise me, because a little kid will always say, well, who gave me this? You know, and they'll go around, well, thank you, Grandma, and you know, whatever person is that gave it to them. And they thank them. And they're really just not really interested in thanking. They're more interested that I got it. They don't want the giver. They want the gift. They're really not interested, but they'll do whatever they have to do. Oh, thank you, so I can get some more. Yeah, thank you. Keep it up, you know, whatever. They're not saying that, but that's the parent doesn't care. God doesn't care that you didn't thank him. God doesn't care that you didn't praise him. God doesn't care that you didn't adore him and worship him. But that is what he wants, and so he'll do it. Now, he'll do it. He'll do it. There's a point in your life when you realize, wow, I've been so blessed. Amen. Just happens. Instead of all my complaints and my whining like little Daniel, you don't have to whine anymore. There's a point in your life where you just go, wow, God is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you see it once, then you see it twice, then you see it three times, four times, five times, six times. Seven times it takes you to go into the furnace. And then you come up here. So what God is doing is, please be patient. Wait for him. Wait for him. Don't. And every church today is in a hurry to get all the members they can get and all the money they can have and all the properties and so on and so forth. Obviously, I have not been working for that. I have done nothing to get that. And sure enough, I won't say nothing, because I have Randy. And Dan, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And Karen, and you're a newbie. But you got it right away. Amen. Way ahead of Dan. He should have had it a long time ago. Sam, too perfect.
Oh, no.
Everybody here is precious in God's sight. Do you know why we love one another? Because God first loved us. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you learn even your enemies can't hurt you. Hillary can't hurt you. Obama declaring martial law can't hurt you. I don't care what they plan to do. They can't change God's purpose. If God loves you, don't sweat it. Don't give him the satisfaction of saying, well, you're not supposed to do that. Let him alone. Now, do what you think God has told you to do, and leave it to God then to finish it off.
Amen.
He knows how to finish. He's a great finisher. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Chair 5, by the way, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Chair 4 is water baptism. I'm justified by faith alone. Now here, I am being filled every day, which means emptied of me. So it's really a death chair. This is a death chair. It kills chair 2. It absolutely kills chair 2. You cannot kill chair 2. Chair 2 thought it was better than chair 1, but chair 2 is man at his best state. This is moral man, religious man, man behaving himself. You don't want that. All of civilization wants it. It's a lie. It's a civilization against God, because God wants Jesus to be your life and your joy and your peace and your fruit. All the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness. What else? Faith, meekness, self-control. 9 gifts. 9 gifts. Each of those are different. The first 3, the next 3, and the next 3. There's 9 of them. 3 groups of 3. Love, joy, peace. That's related to chair 4. The next 3. Patience. Oh, that's a tough one. Right there. To be patient, because God doesn't come through when you thought he was going to come through. God, if you really love me, come through. Come on, I'm supposed to be your beloved child, and I don't feel loved. I don't think I am. I'm getting mad at you a little bit. I don't think I'm going to go to church for a while. I'm not going to be quite as happy as I was a few years ago. Look, God is slow to anger, and he's also slow in answering your prayers. He makes a promise, then he's slow about keeping it. That's what promises are. Promises are always delayed time. Every promise is given, but you don't see it. When you see it, when you have it, you don't need the promise. It's over. But it isn't over yet. So God has to start it, makes this big promise. You believe it. Okay, good start, good start. But then you have to be patient. Kindness. Goodness. I don't want to be kind. God still hasn't answered me. I don't want to be kind to others right now. I'm trying to get me. He made a big promise to me and he hadn't kept it. How many know God won't keep his promises on your time schedule? I need it today, God. I don't have time to wait. You're crummy at that waiting thing. If I were God, I would have done it already. I'm as sincere as I can be, too. I've even gone to church. I've read the Bible. I've fasted. I've prayed. I've waited. I've been patient. Now I'm getting impatient. Hurry. God, I'm getting to hate you. I'm going to get even with you. I shouldn't have believed in you. You never come through on time. Okay, be kind during this time to others. And what else? Good. But this goodness is not you. None of these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, none of those fruits are you. They're just Jesus in you. Jesus working through you. Here he's for you. Here he's through you. Here he's in you, working in you, those three. And here, when you're all finished with those three, you get these three. What are they? Faith. In other words, faithfulness. You're going to have that. Meekness, which means you're under authority. And finally, self-control. You actually govern yourself now, but you're governed by Jesus. Not your self-self, but your new self-self. So your new self is totally governed by Jesus, and you find yourself being more disciplined than ever, but you didn't do it. It's a miracle, because it's Jesus. So we are looking for that moment when you're ready, so that when he comes today, you're ready. But how many know if you just get the chair four, you're already ready? Because he who began promised, even though you don't see it, he promised to perfect you. So don't worry, you'll get it. You can't fail. You can't fail. Keep your faith. Stand still. Don't move. Don't move. Chair four. Don't move. Stand fast. Because if you don't go through five, you won't get rid of two. You'll go back under the law. You'll go back under legalism. Or even worse, you'll actually go back into the world and be openly wicked like Pastor Jim. That's worse. No, it isn't. Actually, chair two is the worst.
Yeah.
He said, I'd rather you be cold, Pastor Jim. Or hot. Six. But because you're lukewarm, two. The only way to get rid of two is through five. Five is the only way to get rid of two. You want to no longer be running the show. You want to no longer be God. That you believe it in chair four, but you see it. Actually, you're actually experiencing right now. I'm not mad at people. I'm kind. I'm good. Why? Because I'm patient. I don't care how they behave. I'm going to keep loving them, keep loving them. I'm going to keep loving them. I'm not going to stop loving them. Why? Because Jesus is in me to love them. The Christ in me loves you, ML. Me? I don't know. That's a me apart from him, me. But I don't have that me anymore because he said I don't. Therefore, I believe he already did what he said. And so I've already seen it and I'm going to rejoice today. Yahoo! I'm going to already praise God. So worship is the third chair. All the worship comes out of this third chair. Of course, I can thank him for forgiving me here. And I can also thank him for sending me through the furnace, but it's harder to worship there. But here's the real worship right here, as I begin to see these last three. We'll talk about this next time. These last three gifts are so powerful because it's worshipful, because I'm thanking him. God, you know what? You've always been with me. I don't need to wiggle or shake. I'm standing still in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us, all of us, free. So, there it is.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone want to testify? This was great, awesome, good, good work.
What a wonderful message this morning. We needed it. I needed it. Thank you.
No more moral. No more trying to behave. You can't behave for people. Don't. They're not your gods. You're not your own God. Nobody's God but God. And he loves you. All right.